it's certainly a blessing to be here today. We have been blessed in the singing of these songs that remind us from whence our salvation comes. I think if there's one thing that our age is characterized by, it is an ignorance of from whence the salvation of God's people comes. And we endeavor to declare from whence that salvation comes. Salvation's of the Lord. It's in the Lord and it's from the Lord. And apart from His mercy and kindness to bring us to the place where we would call upon His name, we cannot know who He is. But He is gracious, and He does call His people unto Himself. And that's, as we look here in the fourth chapter of Mark, we see that He is unfolding the glory of His kingdom in the earth. Now some people, and you listen to a lot of so-called Bible teachers in our day, and has been this way for a long time, and they're looking for a kingdom. They're looking for Christ to establish a kingdom somewhere down the road. They believe that, you know, one day He's going to be a king, and He's going to sit on the throne. And men will be able to go take a boat, I guess, if you live over here, and you take a boat over there to where He was, and you could fall down before His throne and worship Him. I believe that's a very foolish consideration of what the kingdom of God is. Because the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world as a king, and He presently rules as a king over His kingdom, which He came into the world to establish. And He said, "I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He didn't say, "I'm going to do it one day." He said, "I will do it." And He has come and established that. And of course, as we read last week, these first few verses in the chapter, in Mark chapter 4, and as He gave the parable of the sower. And it's important that we understand that the lesson that He's teaching here is that He is the one who sows the seed. And it's His field into which the seed is sowed. And His purpose in the sowing of the seed is that it might fall into the good ground and sprout up and bring forth fruit. That's the whole purpose of what He's teaching here in this parable. And as we read on in this chapter, He is building upon that very thought. He said here in verse, let's see here. And verse 20, He said, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. These are they," He said, "that seed which is sown on the good ground." The good ground is the ground that's prepared for the seed. It's the place where the seed is the purposed to fall and grow and to bring forth fruit. And so He goes on with an explanation of His kingdom, which He has established in the earth and is presently establishing and calling His people unto Himself. "And He said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be made manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." Now, do you have ears to hear? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves. Are we hearing the Word of God? Now, everybody's hearing it unless we happen to be deaf. And in that case, we might not hear it with these ears. But assuming that we all can do have the physical gift of hearing, we do hear the Word of God. But that's not the hearing that he's talking about here. He's talking about blessed are those who hear the Word of God. That is, that it goes into the ear and into the heart, and a man receives it and rejoices. You know, there was a miracle that took place on the day of Pentecost. Now, the miracle that gets the most press and gets men most excited was that they say there was a miracle of the gift of people speaking in other tongues. And you've got people that really get fired up about that. And they build whole denominations surrounding it. And it becomes a central point. But, dear brethren, the greatest miracle that took place on the day of Pentecost was not that men spoke in other tongues, but that men heard the gospel of Jesus Christ in their own language. Now, that was the glorious thing. Because, you see, a man can speak in tongues and go away. I've known people that claim they can speak in tongues, turned out to be the biggest devils that ever lived. I mean, yet they could, you know, blabber away with the best of them. But when a man has heard the Word of God, there will be a profound change that takes place in his life. Can't help it. It's just that's what the work of hearing the Word of God does. Now, we do find in this parable, he said there were some that heard the Word and received it with joy, but then it just became choked out with vines in one place, and then in another place didn't have much earth. Now, those heard the Word of God in a measure. But see, that's not the hearing of the Word that he's talking about here. He said, let him that hear, let him hear. It's not temporary. You know, I was raised with the idea in the church that I grew up in that if you ever hear the Word one time and you come and you make a confession of faith, and buddy, you're in. And it doesn't make any difference what else happens, buddy, you're in. And when somebody died, the one thing they wanted to do was find out, well, did he ever join the church? And buddy, if they can find out that he did, oh, praise God, he's in heaven today. Well, that's not hearing the Word either. Because the hearing of the Word of God is that which lasts. See, the hearing of the Word of God is that which a man can't escape from. It's like Peter when he said, Lord, when the Lord asked him, will you go away? He said, Lord. He said, where are we going to go? He said, thou hast the words of eternal life. We can't go anywhere else. We're not going to find anything else. We're not looking for something else. And so it is. That's what hearing the Word of God is. It's that which takes root and it has effect and a lasting effect. It's not temporary in a man. And so he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, not to be set on a candlestick? Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the bearing the fruit. He said, you don't light a candle and then stick it off in the closet. He said, the reason that you light a candle so that it might be seen. And he said, the reason that the seed falls into the good ground is that it might bring forth fruit. That it might bring glory to God. You see, that's the whole purpose of the Lord drawing a people unto himself. He didn't draw people unto himself in order to have a bunch of secret disciples that went around out here and never said anything. The scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We rejoice in him. We want to give glory to God for that which he has done. There is nothing which shall not be manifested. That is, the Lord will manifest his children in the earth. There will none wake up in heaven one day because they were the elect. They'll wake up in heaven because God called them out of darkness and into the light to embrace Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinners. He's a glorious Savior and He saves men. There says nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret but that it should come abroad. The Lord will manifest His truth. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Listen. And He said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear, more shall more be given. Take heed what you hear. Don't just listen to somebody that comes along telling you they're preaching unto you a gospel that sounds good to the flesh. Take heed what you hear, because that which you hear is that which is either the truth or it's an error. See, there's... I'm not the discerner of the Lord's people. But there's only one gospel. Amen. And it is the gospel of Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinners. And there's no other gospel that we can preach, that we shall preach, or that we ought to preach than that. And anything else is a deception. If any man would add to or take from that gospel, then he has not preached the gospel. So it is. Take heed what you hear. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Now that seems like a hard thing, does it not? But that's the truth of the gospel. And the Lord illustrated it in the parable of the sower. Because he said some falls on those stony grounds and some's taken away by the birds. You see, those who are given the privilege to hear the gospel are a very privileged group of people. It's not a light thing for a man to be able to hear the gospel. It's a glorious thing. We ought to rejoice daily that we have heard the joyful sound, that we have been given ears to hear and to delight in the things of God. How could we do that? How can a man hear except the Lord gives him ears to hear? And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Though it may, a man may seem to walk with the Lord for a season, yet if he has not ears to hear, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after the full corn in the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth forth the sickle, because the harvest is come. Now, is that not what he was speaking about in the parable of the sower? He said he sowed the seed into the good ground. And he did that not simply just to see it grow in the ground, but to harvest it. Because the fruit is that which he would have. And the Lord has ordained His people to bring forth fruit unto Him in varying degrees. He's given every man the measure of faith. And so it's folly when men look at other men and say, well, he doesn't measure up to me, or this, that, or the other. Now, we're not talking about believing the gospel. We're talking about the fruit that's born. I mean, the Lord is pleased to bring forth more fruit from some than He does from others. But He brings forth fruit from all of His children, according to the good pleasure of His will and not ours. For the earth, he said, and listen to this, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep. Does the Lord sleep? Well, he slept in the bow of the boat, did he not? It's not talking about the Lord sleeping. He's giving an illustration. He's illustrating through the planting of the seed what it is. I mean, whenever we plant seed in the ground, And then we don't know how it sprouts, do we not? I mean, it's not a thing we understand. So is the gospel of the kingdom of God. When it's put into the good earth, we don't know how it sprouts up. I don't know where it will sprout or how it will sprout. It belongs to the Lord. But He said it will sprout up. And He said when it does, He said then the Lord will reap the harvest of it. And He will do it. Here's the thing that I remember the first time I ever read this. It said that the Lord will make a short work in the earth. That He will do a quick work in the earth. Now what does that mean? Well, it means that what He does suddenly. See, He causes it to come to pass. And it's so overwhelmingly sudden till a man can't imagine it. Now, you stop and think about death. Death is sudden. You know, it doesn't make any difference if a man lingers with some illness and you see him going down, 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 down. When death comes, it's sudden. I mean, it's not expected, even though you know that it's coming. Yet when it occurs, it is a sudden thing. And the Lord will make a quick work in the earth. He will make a sudden work in the earth, a short work in the earth. He will bring His people to Himself. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after the full corn in the ear. The Lord works in His people. See, He doesn't just cause a man just to overnight, he springs up and he's just perfect. No, He works in us, both the will and the do of His good pleasure. And many times it seems as though the corn's growing slow. But it's always maturing at just the right time according to the will and purpose of God. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately He putteth the sickle in because the harvest is come. The Lord knows them that are His. And He said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. What is the kingdom of God like? He said it's like a grain of mustard seed. It doesn't seem like anything to the world, does it? I mean, you ever seen I remember we, of course, when I was growing up, we used to plant tobacco. And I don't know if you've ever seen any tobacco seed or not, but you can't hardly see them. I mean, they're about the size of the head of a pin, maybe. Or maybe even a little smaller than that. And you can take enough of seed that you could put in your hand and plant a couple acres of tobacco with what would grow up out of that. And of course, you can't plant those seed in the field. You have to plant them in a bed and spread them out, and then they grow up, and then you take the plant and you transplant that plant. But He said this: the kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed. It doesn't seem like anything to the world. It's just nothing. But He said, when it is sown in the earth, it's less than all the seeds that be in the earth. See, the world has big seeds. Men like the big seed, do they not? I mean, you know, they like something that you can really see. I mean, here's some corn. I mean, you know, corn, you got some corn. I mean, you can really see that. It looks good, doesn't it? Men like the trappings of religion. They like all the things that appeal to men. They like good preachers. I mean, but if you can get you a preacher that'll make you feel good, then you really got some. You know, that's what people are looking for. They want somebody that will tell them what they want to hear and build them up. See, we don't need any of that old discouraging stuff. We want somebody that'll jive us up and get us feeling good. And that looks good, doesn't it? He said the kingdom of God not like that. He said it's like a grain of mustard seed. Nothing to it. He said, but when it is grown up, when it starts to bring forth the fruit, he said, then, he said, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs. See, the kingdom of God does not appear in the eyes of men to be great, but it appears in the eyes of the children of God to be the greatest. It's a blessed place. It's a place where the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of its branches. Now, the world doesn't have any. They're not concerned with it. They're not interested in roosting in that branch, in that tree or laying under the shadow of it. But the children of God are, even though to them it seems to be nothing, or to the world it seems to be nothing. And with many such parables, spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. Now, I think that shows the mercy of God, does it not? He knows what we need. And he gave the men what they could hear. I mean, could he not have taken his disciples right there to get going? He could have just told them everything there was to know. And they'd have been so overwhelmed they wouldn't have been able to have moved. You know, a lot of times we want the Lord to teach us things. And we think, well, we're not being taught quick enough. Well, the Lord's teaching you exactly what He wants you to know. See, you don't. People say, oh, well, you know, I wish I had dying grace. Well, you don't need dying grace if you're living. I mean, when you need dying grace is when you're dying. And the Lord will give you that which you need in the time that you need it. And so it is that He will give you what you're able to hear, what you need. And so He spake the word unto them as they were able to hear it. Now, think about this. What if the Lord had put Peter through the test that he did when he denied the Lord? What if he had done that when Peter first started walking with him? Peter would have been crushed. He probably never would have been worth a flip from then on. But see, the Lord brought Peter along, and He taught Peter, and He brought Peter to the place he needed to be at the time he needed to be. Because why did Peter need to go through that? Because he said, Lord, I'll stand with you. See, Peter thought he would, did he not? He thought he was strong, but the Lord had to show him that he had no power of his own, and he could not stand with the Lord. So He gives them such as they were able to hear, but without a parable spake He not unto them. But when they were alone, He expounded all things to His disciples. He taught those who what? He gave ears to hear. He taught in parables. He said so that seeing they might not see, hearing they might not hear. But then those whom He gave an ear to hear, He caused them to hear. And they rejoiced in it. And the same day when the even was come, and I had to think about this when Brother Thomas requested that hymn, Master of the Tempest is Raging. I thought, that, you know, here we are in this passage of Scripture. And the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, Let us pass over to the other side. Now, I had read here a while back about the Sea of Galilee. I think it's about 15 miles across the Sea of Galilee, which is not huge. But 15 miles, I mean 7 miles out in the water, that's a pretty good little place. I mean, you can still see land, but of course this was at night probably, and so they couldn't. And it would be a very frightful experience. And when He sent them away, the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Matthew records this. He says it was covered. Now, what I think that it has reference to is the fact that the waves were so high and the storm was so great that the waves were crashing over the boat. Obviously, it doesn't mean that the ship was full of water, because if it was full of water, it would have probably sank. So it wasn't full of water. And keeping in mind also that the Lord was in the boat and he was asleep, likelihood was he was not sleeping in water. But he was nonetheless, this storm was raging. And it says here that there arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now think about that for a minute. Master, don't you care we're going to perish? What did he do? He was asleep. Think about that. He was sleeping in the midst of this storm. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Now, we hear a lot about faith today, and people say, oh, you just got to have faith, brother. You just got to have faith. What was he talking to them about? Was he saying, well, you just got to have faith that you're not going to sink? You just got to have faith that somehow or other you're going to get out of this? Got to think positively, you know. I mean, don't let negative thoughts come into your mind because the boat might sink, but you got to, you know, think positively and focus on something that is good. No, he said, how is it that you have no faith? What did he mean? Well, what he meant, what he was saying was, don't you have any faith in me? He said, do you think I brought you out here into the middle of this ocean for you to drown? Do you think I don't have any care for you? How is it that you have no faith? Why are you so fearful? He says, I'm with you. Remember he said, when the Pharisees said, why do your disciples not fast? He said, well, when the bridegroom's with them, why should they fast? He said, the day will come when they will fast. But he said, when the bridegroom's with them, they rejoice. And so he's saying to them, here I am right with you. See, he was teaching them some things, was he not? Why did he get them out there in the middle of that sea, in this storm, with him asleep? Why did he do that? Well, it's very plain that he did it. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? See, they hadn't pondered that before, but now he taught them such things as they needed to know. See, they had never seen him say, peace be still to the water. They knew he was a great teacher sent from God. Even Nicodemus said that. So they knew something about him. But you see, as time went on, he showed them some more things that they might see. What manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey him? That's a question that ought to be asked. Even now, by the people of God. What manner of man is this? See, he could not be simply man, could he? He could not be just man. Just like he told the Pharisees, you know, who has power? Is it easier to say to a man, be healed, or your sins are forgiven? Which is easier to say? I mean, if you can do one, you can do the other. And so when he said, peace be still, they understood, hey, this man's not like any other man we have ever known. And thus, we come to understand that while he is man, how do we know that he's man? Because he slept in the boat. He was tired. He was hungry after he fasted. He had needs. His body had needs. But yet he made all things. What manner of man is this? He's not a man like any man you've ever known. But he is that man who was sent by God to carry our sins, to bear our sorrows, our griefs. He's that kind of man. What kind of man is this? He's a man who will never forsake us. He'll never leave us. He's a man who will come again to receive us unto himself. What manner of man is this? Oh, that we might know him. That we might know him as that everlasting Son of God. But that we might understand that he is that man of sorrows who is acquainted with our grief. Man of sorrows who poured out his soul unto death in our behalf. What manner of man is this? He is that man whom we worship. He is that man at whose feet we fall down and we give him praise. Oh, that we might have ears to hear today the words of Christ, Jesus the Lord. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, brethren, every man who has faith by the gift of God looks at himself and he says, I don't have any faith. Oh, I wish I had some faith. But you see, every man who is born of God, he has faith because his faith is Christ. See, our faith is Christ. My faith's not in my abilities to believe. So that's what most people talk about today. When you hear preachers talking about faith today, they're talking about you got to have something that you're doing. No, our faith is Christ. We can't go anywhere else but here. He's that rock, as that altar of stones that Brother Al was speaking about. He is that one who is that place that we come and remember that it is He and He alone that is our deliverer. It's been good to be here. Trust that the Lord might give us a mind and heart to seek it after Him. I thought as we sang one of those songs there a moment ago, and we're called upon to do what we cannot do. The Lord calls us to do what we cannot do. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And we can't do it. You can't do it. I can't do it. But you see, He alone can give a man that faith, that understanding, that eye to look to Christ, cast ourselves at His feet. That is faith. May the Lord give us that.